That being said, the children, you now have opportunity to go down to children's church. Children all the way up through fifth grade, there is something going on for you. So come join the lady in blue over by the door. I'd like to open in prayer. Lord God, I thank you for this time that we have together this morning, for the fact that we can even be here together this morning. There's so many things that could be in the way and blocking us from worshiping together with our brothers and sisters. And so, Lord, I do thank you that we are here today, gathered together in your presence. Lord, I pray that you would speak through my words, that each person would hear the message that you have for them, and that this time would be a sacred time, a time where we know we have been in the very presence of the Holy God. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have really enjoyed my 3 weeks here. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Brenda, and I have been in Alaska. We lived here for 19 years and moved to Washington about a little over 2.5 years ago, almost 3 years now. And so I am an associate pastor in a tiny little church in a tiny little town of Chewila, Washington. And I don't know if any of you have heard of Chewila, Washington, but it's north of Spokane. So it's on the east corner of the state of Washington. And I've really enjoyed being back home and spending time with many of you and getting to hang out with many of you. It has just really been a blessing for me to be here. And I just want to thank you for welcoming me back. And it's as if I had never gone anywhere. We just kind of picked back up in our friendships and relationships as if, you know, there was never the gap. And it's always fun to see and hear what God is doing in everybody's lives and share what's going on with me in my life. That has been really fun this last couple weeks. And today, if you're wondering, yes, Pastor Brian is back in town. However, he is sharing a message at the Anchorage Church today. So you get to have me one last time. Let's turn in our Bibles to Exodus 33. And while you're turning to Exodus 33, I just want to say a little bit of background, because we need to know a little bit about what's going on before we jump right into this. And so Moses had been up on the mountain, Mount Sinai, with God, and they've been talking, and God's been telling Moses all about what it means to be a people of God, to be a people of the Most High God, to be the people of the one true God. And as they're having their conversation, he's been up there for a little over a month now, God says, "Hey, Moses, things are running amok down at the bottom of the hill. You need to go down and take care of that. My plan is to just wipe them out completely, just wipe them out and start all over with you." And what does Moses do? He starts interceding for the people, and he starts praying for the people and asking God to save the people. He reminds God of the promise that God had given the people, that the promise that he'd given Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that their descendants would enter into the promised land flowing with milk and honey. So he was reminding God of that conversation that he had had with the forefathers. And even to the point of saying, "I will give up my life for the sake of their lives." So God's plan to wipe everybody out except for Moses says, I will give up my life so that they can survive. And so that's where we enter into this. Moses had come down off the mountain, saw what was going on. There was a little calf there, a golden calf. Moses destroys their new god. Totally destroys it. And now, here's what we see. Starting with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and I must destroy you, or I might destroy you on the way." Isn't it interesting that God tells Moses, the very argument that Moses uses, hey, you've got to be true to your promise. And so God says, okay, I will be true to my promise. I will be true to the promise that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the people will go into the promised land flowing with milk and honey. And I will send an angel ahead and wipe everybody out, all the enemies out, so they don't have to worry. In that day, the main purpose for a god, every people group had a god. And so I think that Moses had been gone so long, they had wondered if God had left. And so what they did is they came up with their own god. And when Moses came back upon the scene, Moses destroyed that god. And the purpose of a god in the cultures, in the culture of the day, was to take care of the enemy and to protect, so to protect the people and to provide for the people. That was the purpose of a god. And if a people did not have a god, they would perish because there was nobody to protect them and nobody to provide for them. So when God says, I'm going to give you everything you want, I'm going to fulfill the promise, but I'm not going to go. I'm going to fulfill the promise of protection. I'm going to fulfill the promise of provision, but I am not going to be with you. It's interesting to me how that was God's plan. That was God's plan, that the people would enter into the promised land. That was God's plan for the enemies to be wiped out. It was God's plan that they have abundance and provision. But they didn't really receive his plan. I mean, not really. They didn't accept him. They didn't take in the true God. They didn't understand that God was more than just about a plan, that God was more than just about a promise, that God was more than about provision, about protection. Yes, God does those things, but it's more than that. So circle back around. How many times, or even in our own lives, we know we're walking in the plan of God, but we lose God? Like, especially in the church and church plans, and we get all excited about a new program, and we believe that God is in it, and there's results, people are coming. However, we miss the real presence of God when we become too wrapped up in the program, in the process. And God may have had a plan for that. I mean, it is so easy to do. As something that I have dealt with. You know, even working in prison and prison ministry, I know that God had called me to do prison ministry as a prison chaplain. And if I didn't surrender every single day to the Lord, and I tried to walk it in my own strength, my own power, I was doing it without God, and things would not go as well as if they were in God's, or sometimes they would still go well. But I had to remember that what's the most important thing, not if things go well, not if a whole bunch of people come to the Lord. Yes, that's very important, but do they come to the Lord with a relationship that lasts for eternity? And that's when God is in it. God is in it. So, the people were really sad when they heard that God was not going to go with them. They took off all their fancy clothes, their party clothes, because they had been partying, because they had just finished worshiping and making sacrifice to this other god when Moses came down. And now they kind of go into this mode of mourning. One of the things about being in the presence of God, it's going to either purify you or it's going to destroy you. And sometimes the purification feels like destruction. When you're letting go of the things that are important or once were important, like security, like provision, letting go of those things for the sake of God. And Moses, when he was in the presence of God, he was praying for and interceding for others. He was interceding. He was willing to sacrifice his own life. So when we've been in the presence of God, we get to a place where our lives are not the most important thing that exists. That it is God is the most important thing, and that others recognize and have that experience of having God is the most important thing in their life. And the people of Israel, they decided that they wanted the presence of God as well. And so they had to repent. They had to humble themselves. They had to be willing to give up going into the promised land and be content with just merely the presence of God. And so are you content with the presence of God and willing to give up the dream that maybe God has even given you? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to spend time, hours in prayer? Moses was up talking to God for 40 days. So now he comes down, and God has told him, I'm not going with you. And Moses says, okay, but who's going with us? But who's going with us? He wouldn't let God off the hook. Moses said he really wanted the presence of God, so he took his own house, a tent, probably the fanciest tent because he was the leader. And he put that fancy tent just outside of the camp where everybody could see that place. And that is where he then met with God. Instead of going up on the mountain, he came into this tent of meeting. It wasn't like a tent of meeting, like you're going in for a board meeting. Those are so boring. But it was a tent of meeting to meet with God, kind of like what I've been doing. The last couple of weeks, I've had opportunity to meet with so many of you guys, and this meeting time was sweet. It was special. It was opportunity to catch up. It was opportunity to find out what your needs are and how to pray for you and for you to find my needs and pray for me and just this exchange of relationship. And that was the meeting. It's a more of an encounter, a sitting down and having a cup of tea with God. Being in the presence of God. That's what he created there. And tonight we are going to have a worship prayer service where this will be transformed into like that tent of meeting where you can come in and we will have a time of prayer, a time of just really meeting with God in a really special way. I'm so looking forward to it. And I hope that you'll join me in this time of prayer, a time of surrendering to the Lord. So then let's go down to verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know who you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" What a beautiful statement. It is the presence of God that distinguishes us from all other people on the face of the earth. It is the presence of God that makes a difference between us just being a group of people who come together, sing a few songs, give each other a little hug, and or a high five, whichever is your preference, and then say, "Glad to see you this week," and out the door you go. Or to be a group where we come together and are concerned about the poor or concerned about, and you name it, the difference between us and all those programs out there is the presence of God. At Highland Mountain, there were two programs that helped the women try to overcome addiction and recovery or just to be better people. And one of those programs had the presence of God, and one of them did not. And the thing that distinguished the one that had the presence of God from the one that did not was amazing in the difference in the way that they continued in life afterward, continued in life while in the institution. Now, I'm not saying that everybody experienced the presence of God who was in the TLC program. However, when you do experience the presence of God, it makes a difference in your life. It makes a difference. And that is the only thing that distinguishes us from everybody else in the world around us, is the presence of God. And do the people around you know when you come in the room that they're in the presence of God, not because you are so godly or God yourself, but because of God living in you and you extending his love to those around you. So, as we think about that and we think about life, I don't want to do anything if God is not going to be in it. I don't want to move forward if God is not going to be there. I do not want to move backward. I don't want to go to the left or to the right. I only want to move if God is going to be in it. Even if it sounds great, even if it's a wonderful opportunity, even if it seems like the dream job, I don't want to do it if God's not going to be in it. And we need to be at a place where we can truly say, I will surrender everything. I will give up that beautiful 20 acres in the forest and follow you somewhere else, Lord, if you really want me to. Because I don't want to stay there if you aren't going to be there. I don't want to jump ahead and go somewhere else if you're not going to be there and you have called me to be and you're going to be on that beautiful 20 acres in the forest. I want to be where you want me to be. So you can pray with me and for me for direction each day, you know, and I will pray for you and with you for direction each day as to where God wants you, where God wants us, where does he want us to serve, where is he leading us, where is he in the midst. And maybe there's some barriers. Maybe there are some things that we need to surrender to him so that we can have his presence. Maybe there are some gods that we have placed in front of him. I always remember when I was a kid, probably, I don't know, junior high-ish, probably about your age, when my dad stood up and gave testimony. That was back in the days on Sunday nights when you had Sunday night service and they were often the testimony service. My dad stood up in the service and I remember him saying that he had this aha moment that his family, his wife, was more important to him than God. And that was a shift in his life, that God needed to be more important and that God would take care of him and his family, and his love relationship with God would improve and increase his relationship and his family. So that has impacted me through my life, and I hope that each of you have that opportunity to recognize the things in your life that are more important to God. And if you want to come and pray right now about that, the altar is open. We can do that. If you want to marinate on this for a little bit and think about what the Lord wants you to get out of this message today, come tonight and we can pray together tonight. You can spend some time with the Lord tonight and seeking his face. Pastor Brian and I will both be here tonight to pray with you, to set the tone and invite the presence of God. So, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for the fact that you love us deeply. And your desire for us is to love you more than we love the plan, to love you more than we love anything else. And so, Lord, I pray as we reflect on our lives that you would reveal to us the things that we need to surrender to you, that we would walk in humility. And, Lord, maybe you're bringing people to our minds right now that you're asking us to intercede for. And so, Lord, I pray that we would have the courage to intercede in a way that draws people to you. We love you, Lord, and we want to dedicate our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking of dedicating a life, if somebody would get Candace and Hayden. There you are.